shortly after the twins were born, and by the way, when we had the twins, we had a four-year-old, a two-year-old, and newborn twins. I spent one of my many sleepless nights thinking about how my life has changed since the day I met my wife, how I abandoned the thought of returning to the Benedictines as a monk, how I moved across country, leaving the only home I had ever known, how entering into a lifelong commitment of loving communion and intimacy has changed my relationship with God. Really not having an appreciation for how four young children can all at the same time exhaust me to the point of numbness, make me mad enough to pull out what little hair I have left, make me laugh until I cry, and fill me with so much love and joy that I could barely keep my heart in my chest. My life has not just changed, it has truly been renewed. I've gone from living for myself to dying to myself in loving sacrifice and service to my wife and children in the same way that Christ sacrificed his life for his bride, the church. In short, I have opened my heart deeply to the grace I received in baptism. Water is the perfect symbol of the sacrament of baptism because it truly transmits the grace of new life that destroys the cancer of sin through the power of the cross. Through baptism, we are freed from sin and reborn as sons and daughters of God. We become members of Christ and participate fully in his mission of sharing the good news of God's love by our words, our actions, and our witness. The woman in today's gospel begins her journey in faith and her discovery of truth in the encounter with Jesus Christ, the living water of eternal life. Our Lord extends an invitation to personal and life-giving communion. But before she can live in Christ, she must die. Die to her vices, her habits and idiosyncrasies, and her other inner secrets that she lies about and tries to hide from God, her loved ones, and those around her. She must die to herself so that she can rise with Christ. We often don't like to hear about or talk about sin because it's so personal. Sin makes us uncomfortable. Sin embarrasses us. Sin opens deep wounds that are often painful. If talking about sin bothers you, then I ask you to please look at the cross. Jesus took all of our sins upon himself. He was uncomfortable. He was embarrassed. His body endured deep wounds that were painful. Jesus took our sins personally. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And there is nothing that we can ever do. There is no sin too great. There is no hurt too deep that cannot be forgiven by the rich mercy and the healing power of God's life and love. When we meet Jesus at the well in the sacrament of reconciliation, we are asking to be reborn in the living waters of God's mercy and forgiveness. We are asking God to lower the walls that we've built between him and ourselves so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus may enter into the most guarded and hidden places within our hearts, willing to set us free to love. Being free to love means that we cannot hide behind alcohol or drugs, anger or hatred, physical or emotional abuse, or any sin that we think God cannot forgive. His love and his mercy are too great. Just as at Meribah and Massa in the desert, where God made water flow from the hardest, driest rock. If we make a complete gift of ourselves to our Heavenly Father, then His mercy and love will flow freely, even in the hardest and driest of hearts. Blood and water, oh, which you can see. You can see the water. That's awesome. Blood and water flow from the side of our crucified Christ. And it is in that life-giving stream that we are nourished and strengthened by the very life of God Himself. In that Eucharistic encounter, Christ has given us the new and everlasting covenant, the self-emptying gift of His eternal love for us. The Eucharist exists to configure us more perfectly to Christ, where He invites us into the loving and life-giving communion that transforms us from the inside out. The Eucharist exists to make us the body of Christ, to make us the sacramental representation of Jesus Christ on earth. Our being changed into Christ is what the Eucharist is all about. This is where we truly encounter Christ, and the encounter with Christ changes everything. In receiving the Eucharistic Christ, we receive the grace that gives us the courage to say with St. Paul, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." My brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord invites us to come and drink from the never-ending wellspring of His grace and love. We don't need money or popularity or anything else that this world has to offer. All God wants is our hearts so that His love can transform us. If we are to be truly church, truly the body of Christ, we must not be afraid to follow Jesus, to truly live our baptismal call to holiness wherever we are on our life's journey. We must allow the floodwaters of God's grace to destroy our own selfishness, egotism, and sinfulness, which keeps us from God and prevents us from becoming who God intended us to be in Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of truth. We don't walk alone on this path to holiness. Our Lord Jesus Christ is with us, encouraging us to freely, willingly, and lovingly place all of our trust in God alone. When we say yes in response to the grace that we've received in reconciliation, then we will find true happiness and peace, a peace that can only come from the total giving of ourselves to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth, a peace that allows us to rest secure in the knowledge that Jesus Christ is truly the Savior of the world. Amen. Amen. Just a few quick words about the mission.